we got in touch with the Chabad rabbi there.
But you know, like a lot of Central America, they're bringing some stuff to the kids.
San Juan,
thoracic surgeon that trained in Loma Linda, who's like vastly wealthy. We brought like stuff to the kids and ended up being in their apartment, which is gorgeous place with like three maids, and we're like sitting there going, wow, we really didn't know what we were doing.
They changed the name of the street where the first school was, or that first rabbi that came from Israel was on it. So they changed it to Mount Sinai Street, and it's in Hebrew too. Or something.
In Paris. All right, there we go. Let's get started. Okay, so I want to add one thing to what we discussed last week. Last week we discussed a lengthy discussion about the Melo Lugmav, about the amount that one has to consume minimally. Put that there. One has to consume minimally in terms of the mitzvah of Kiddush. And so you have to make a kiddush on a revius and drink rov revius and melo lugmav. You know what we said is basically if you move all the liquid to one side of your mouth, that would be filled like a kind of a puffed out cheek. So, and the Mishnah Berurah took the position that if you didn't have this minimum shear of melo lugmav, you're not yotze kiddush. So just want to throw one thing in there that may actually come up today in terms of being relevant is the Aruch HaShulchan's opinion. As it relates to this, he writes that this goes back actually to something that was more related to Sif Yud Aleph, but it is very relevant hopefully for what we're going to discuss today. Remember that whole case with the first cup and the second cup, and you were trying to maximize how can I make it all work for Kiddush and then the Shabbos lunch, and then Havdalah, and we're like, you know, we're pouring out of cups and into, you know, so in that context, the Aruch HaShulchan says v'gam lamanu mima shekosav sheyitom kos shel Kiddush kos hasheni, and it says you should taste if you actually will go back. Actually, the sheets don't have it. If you have a Mishnah, a full safer in front of you, and you go back and you're medayik in the language of the whole first cup, second cup, you know, it says, and toem, the implication of toem is taste. It's not like a whole drink that is, you know, miyashev your das. There's a nice spot right here if you need to join us. So the Aruch HaShulchan, it said in that context, as mashma, dafak avda ba'ina melo lugmav or rov. It's really, you're supposed to, you're required to have a melo lugmav or a rov revius. He says, mikol makom b'shas hadchak, in a pressure-filled situation, a situation that's less than ideal, kigon shelo yishar revius al kiddush l'machar, like this situation in Yudal, which was like, I don't have enough for kiddush tomorrow. So he says, then, you could fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush with just tasting. It's not ideal. It's only the b'shas adchak you can rely on such an opinion. But nonetheless, he says that you could still fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush b'shas adchak with just the te'ima ba'alma and not the malalugma. Now, why is that important? Hopefully, that's not the situation we find ourselves in. We are usually stocked with wine and grape juice and this and that, but sometimes we don't realize we didn't have enough, so that's actually practically helpful, but it will come up in what we're going to learn today. So I just wanted you to like remember that. Now the Mishnah Berurah was very clear though, he thought you still have to have even a b'shas adchak, you have to have a melo lugmav, otherwise you're not yotze. Our Chashulchan is saying no, be medayik in the language of toim from sif yodav. And you can learn that even a taste is simply good enough. B'shas adchak. He of course agrees that you should have a melo lugmav in any other circumstance. So now, with that in mind, let's continue our learning today. We are up to sif tesvav in siman resh ayin aleph. And last week we've been talking a lot about Can the Malo Lugmav, is that for one person? Can I be mitzaref many people to the Malo Lugmav? Yeah, Reish Ayin Aleph is a siman, and we're gonna beginning with Tesvav. And just reminding everybody from last week, we had said that the Gaonim were of the opinion that the person who makes Kiddush should certainly have some of the Kiddush wine, without a doubt. The opinion of the Shulchan Aruch is one of the Ikra Adin probably situation, which comes from the Rush, is that even if you make Kiddush and somebody else drinks it, that is sufficient.
Do you think the Aruch Shulchan would be lenient if you're Yotzei Shabbos day with somebody making it on schnapps and it's more than
So I don't want to. I have to keep you coming back for more. Yeah, this. So I actually already started looking ahead to the next siman and starting to prepare a little bit. And there's a whole discussion, and he discusses about making Kiddush over schnapps for Shabbos day. And I was reading. I had the Aruch HaShulchan about this even. And he talks a lot about it.
I didn't skip ahead.
That's okay. It's
Okay.
you. I love your. You're always. You have us thinking ahead. So I don't want to give it away yet. But there's going to be in a few shiurim from now. He's going to defend the minhag, and then he's going to say I don't like it. Essentially, yeah. That's very typical of Aruch HaShulchan. He'll defend and say why we could justify the minhag. That was my, quick look at it. And then, but he's good. The Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan is good. It's all next to him because it's also about what can you use, what wines can you use, and of course other mashkin come up in that context. So we will get there. I promise. And I think actually for that one we'll probably actually just read the Aruch HaShulchan because of course it's a very relevant shaila about making kiddush over Yain's draft.
It's a violation that's overwhelmingly popular, and it's not the raisa.
You're
not
going to
make it.
But I guess he's saying
right. He even says that there are many gedolim who do this. He was very reverent. He was very, had a lot of reverence for the people that there are many people who have that minhag. But then he didn't. He himself. I'll even just read you one phrase from what he says. By the way, just because and by the way, he talks about the shiurim there. That's the biggest thing that's become a problem in there. But he says at the end of that, Omnam kolat ha'amim, he gives all the reasons to defend the minhag. He says, Ein miskablim ahalev. I just that's not sitting well with me, basically, he says. But he did defend it. Because he said, so vada yayin tov min shari mashkin, but lama lo asu kiddush ala yayin gam bayom, kevan shaya lahem yayin beisam obayir. So he's gonna say that you should make kiddush over wine, but he does defend the minhag. So he sort of splits the baby there, where he like, okay, I'm acknowledging there are many gedolim who've used schnapps for kiddush, and so we'll get there next time.
I think also we live in an era where we make or some people make kiddush in the shul and then they go home and they make kiddush at their table, right?
Right.
To differentiate and.
Because not really, because there if that kiddush is going to count as kiddush, you shouldn't actually, the first one, you shouldn't actually really need to go home and make kiddush again. If all the people in your family heard kiddush and shul and ate some mizonos or whatever, then you had kiddush from Makom Suda, you don't really need to go home and make kiddush, you can start with hamotzi.
So is there a value? I mean, is there you do you say because they do this in the shul?
Look, I'm not going to say people are not yotze. No. Yeah, and I think that Aruch HaShulchan, that's why I liked what he, when I was reading ahead, I liked what he said because I think it's sort of very much in his way explains the practice, where it came from. He gives reasons for why maybe it actually makes sense. That whiskey is in some ways more beloved than wine to people. They think the taste is better. It's more available than, maybe he gives different justifications for this, so we'll get there. Okay,
Rabbi, if members of the family are obligated in Kiddush, right?
Who, if they were in shul today, they didn't hear Kiddush, like that?
Even if you make Kiddush here, you have to make it.
Oh, for sure. If not everyone heard Kiddush, then there should be a Kiddush, yes, no question. All right, the test of begins the following. For a moment, and then we're gonna go back. Yes.
So when you make a bracha bar for a coffin, you don't say all the other liquids
for the rest of that meal. Correct.
If you make a
if you make a charcoal on schnapps,
yeah.
Are you going to say any other liquids?
Nothing.
Any other ones that are charcoal?
Yeah.
But if you want, but if you pull out a bottle of wine at that meal, you're going to have to make a Bari Pregoffin. So if you're already going to make a, if you're already going to have wine later in this meal, you should probably just make Kiddush at that point on the wine. Yeah. All right, Tezbav. Kiddush v'kodem shetam hifzik b'dibor. And this, this is not me. I'm not. I'm just describing. The things are easy. You know. Sometimes there you know people make Kiddush and people don't realize we're even around the table. I'm the one who made the Kiddush about when you can and can't talk. Okay. So here we have a case of a Kiddush was made, and before the this is the person who's making the Kiddush, before he takes from the wine, hifzik bedibur. He speaks, he talks.
Why is it hifzik
bedibur? He breaks the continuity here with speaking. So if you do this, choser mavarach bara priagafen, ve'enu tzarech lachazor lekadosh. So Friday night Kiddush, two brachos. There's the yayin, and then there's the bracha for of Mekadosh HaShabbos. So you need to go back and make a bara priagafen at the end, because we'll explain why in a second, but you don't have to make the bracha for Kiddush again. Good morning, Simeon. We're speaking Sif Tesvav. Okay, Simeon Rich Shainal, Sif Tesvav. So anyway, so the this is the psak. You repeat Bara Priagafen in order to then drink the wine, but you don't have to repeat the bracha of Mekadosh HaShabbos. Now, why the difference? Take a look at the Mishnah Berurah here, Sif Katan Ayin Aleph. So he says,
so you have made a bracha of Atala, basically, right?
Yes. Well, at least on the Bara Priagafen, correct? Yes.
Right. Exactly. Now,
yes, you've ruined your Bara Priagafen because in any situation, as he's about to. Actually, not about that. Just remind you, if you make a borei priya eight on an apple, and then you start talking to the person next to you before you take a bite of the apple, that's the bracha levatala. You're not allowed to have a half steak between the bracha and the food that you're eating, the first bite or the first sip. So the imhivsik bedvar mashayachim lehaseuda. Now, if the break is relates to things that are relevant to the meal, certainly if it's relevant to the Kiddush. So the second category is easier to say. You could say to the person next to you,
hand me the
bottle. Right, I need the cup. You want to pour it into everybody to pass me the cup. That's not a hefsek because your mind is still on Inyane Kiddush. And even if it's something about Inyane Seuda, which is a little bit less connected, it's something going on at the table that relates to the Shabbos meal, also not considered enough of a hefsek to require another Bari Priagafen, because the Bari Priagafen is a part of the meal and how we start the meal on Friday night. And so therefore, if I'm talking about the situation of the Seuda at the table, you know, like if I suddenly smell the, you know, something is burning that we're going to serve at the meal, it smells like it's burning. I don't know. Whatever. I'm thinking about the meal. That's apparently not enough of a hefsek that I have to require another bracha rishona on the wine. The lohave hefsek b'diavad. Obviously, lechatchila, you should never do it. Any breaks, you should really stay focused 100%. But after the fact, then you ve'no tzarich lachazor l'varach. It's not considered a hefsek b'diavad, and you don't have to go back and make any new brachos in that situation.
You think someone who's listening, and it's going to be, within the person's bracha, if they talk, it's the same thing. They're going to drink.
If the listener, you're saying.
Right. They're going to drink. You know, like the wife of the
Oh, for sure. So this, is the thing I've kind of seen sometimes. You know, if it's about Vazalim with Tzarchei Seuda?
Yeah,
there's
something that says it's too bad, don't touch it,
she's like bringing things out. Okay, right. Yeah, I guess so. Although she should probably be whoever's going to be anyway, staying at the table during Kiddush. But yes. But the bigger thing that I've sometimes seen is that people will, the shomim are sometimes will start talking, right? And right. And if you're going to have some of the wine, you need to be patient and wait until the little cup gets over to you, because otherwise the bar priagafen is no longer shaking. You turn to the person next to you and you say, Yeah, the rabbi's drasha today. that's not shayach to what's going on here. And if you start talking about that, in order to then to take the little sip, you have to make your own berurah for your gofen at that point.
Issue is hesach hadas.
Yeah, 100%. If I'm talking about the rabbi's drasha, or I ask somebody, you know, so how was vacation this week? I hear you went to Florida. That's not, you know, even though, like, I know the grape juice is coming, that's a hefsek, and that there's no continuity of that borei priagafen to the drinking of it in order for that bracha to still be relevant. Yes, Rich.
Oh, I made a bad joke. Sorry.
Oh, I didn't hear it. I'm sorry. Nobody should have heard it. So I have in my little extra notes here, my Birur Musafim. So by the way, so I see two of you now. I don't know if Jeffrey, you purchased this recently, but so if you take a look at note 83, he talks about the people who are listening to the bracha. He says, "Well, inyan hashomim imutar lehem lahafsi b'dibur kodem sheshasa hamikadesh melo lugmav." Let's say they're not going to drink, but in order for me to be yose, Bruce makes kiddush. He needs to drink for me to be yose. Right, lechatchila. I said the Aruch Hashulchan, a sip, maybe whatever. But like, let's say you're really passing the Mishnah Berurah, you mid the event, even you have to have a little lugmav. So the Igros Moshe, so Moshe Feinstein writes in his Chubos, shulechatchila asar adavar. Lechatchila is as the person sitting around the table until you drink a little lugmav. I also shouldn't talk, right? Mishum shagam shdias lakos chelak me'akidishi. The drinking of the melo lugmav is a part of the kiddush or the mitzvah of kiddush. So who am I to have a hefsek before the mitzvah is completed? And I'm being yosei through that shtia. V'im la'achar shegamar ha-mekadesh es la'kiddush. If after the mekadesh finishes the kiddush, shamu ha-mesubim birkas ha-gefen me'ad ha-macher. Let's say the somebody else on the table next to them makes a borei priya gofen, or Shlomo Zalman Orbach Paskins. Here's the situation. Bruce makes Kiddush, and now the next table, Richie's at the next table, and he's making Kiddush for his family. So he finished Kiddush, and I'm sitting here at the table with Bruce, and I don't even know if he's had anything. He didn't even drink yet. He hasn't had a melo lugmav yet. And now I hear the 2-3 seconds later, Richie finishes, you know, his bracha. Do I say amen to his bracha? Because I can't have a hefsek until my mitzvah was done. So Rav Shlomo Zalman says that if I don't have any kavanah to drink the wine, only Bruce is going to drink the wine. So then I can say amen to Richie's bracha. Shari mistaber sheyishte hamakadosh melo lugmav v'yisbarer sheyotzu hamesubim yedei chovasan lefam freya. Because it's clear that the mekadosh is going to drink a melo lugmav, and so lemafreya. I'll be okay, and then retroactively, I'll be okay because my interruption was for an amen, and perhaps only an amen for, interestingly, a kiddush bracha. So that's what Shlomo Zalman says. Message, but more importantly is that Rav Moshe writes first, which is that until the mekadesh drinks his minimum shir, even if no one else is going to drink around the table, everyone should remain quiet until the mekadesh finishes the melo lugmav. So it's something to keep in mind because that's not, I don't know that everyone knows that halacha. But it's really important. It's as Rav Moshe writes, it's the chelak of the mitzvah of kiddush, the drinking of it.
Excuse me, Rav.
One second, Jeffrey. Question. Then I'll come to you in just a second. Go ahead, Jeffrey.
What about in the case where somebody makes kiddush, there are 10 people around the table.
Yeah.
He drinks, mm-hmm. meaning he pours some of it into his own cup,
mm-hmm.
and then he drinks, and then he's about to pour for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So can somebody talk after he speaks, yet before you have?
So no, if you're going to have any of the wine, no, because yeah. The borei priagafen is also for you then.
Right.
So then that then you can't have a hefsek until you've consumed some wine.
But
you don't need to have a melo lugmav. You can have just a little dip. But that's
seen, though, you would be yoked after he has the melo lugmav.
Yes, correct.
You're going to have that, but that's not
100%. So yeah, as we mentioned last week, it's a mitzvah ben hamufchar that everyone should taste from the kosher kiddush. It's a mitzvah ben hamufchar. That's like beautiful. The choice literally mufchar means the choice. It's the choicest way to do the mitzvah, but it's not. You don't fulfill the mitzvah if you choose not to drink or you know.
But so, still, you don't talk.
But you shouldn't talk if that, because it's really a question. It's a bracha rishona question. It's like anytime if I'm sitting at a meal and somebody makes a bracha for everybody, I need to get to the food before I can start talking. You know, yeah. Tell me, what was the question you wanted to ask?
I tell you that basically was my question. That everybody around the table, irrespective of not even having a taste of wine, was yotzei his obligation regarding the kiddush, based on the Baal HaBayis that made the kiddush, and if he kept his mouth shut during the process, he's good to go.
Yes, 100%. That's why the only reason you would have to continue to be quiet after the person has drunk, the Mekadosh has drunk the Melo Lugmov, is for your own personal bracha that the Bar Pergafen should extend to you if you want to take a little sip of wine. Very good.
Except if he was passing it around and never took his, and you got
it. So that's why the person who makes the Kiddush, thank you for saying that, Bruce, should also be very careful to minimize the time in between the bracha and this. So when in my house, when I make Kiddush, what I do is I hold it. I have already another cup ready, waiting over here. And then I will make the, I'll end, I'll spill a little bit into this other cup. I won't even deal with it then. Then I will drink. And everyone technically is at that point, yotzei the midst of kiddush. Now, then I start fiddling around with pouring everyone into little cups and sending them around. But the person who makes kiddush should be sure to minimize the time between the bracha and the te'ima. So now let's take a look at ayin vav in the Mishnah Berurah. It says, why do I not have to make kiddush again? If I talk before I drink the wine, why do I not have to make mikdash Shabbos again? I guess make more prayer gafle, and why not Mekadosh Shabbos? So the Mishnah Berurah writes, "The hafzik ena megareya ela birkas bore pri hagafen." The break, the hafzik, only ruins the bracha bore pri hagafen. Mipnei shesachi, I'll turn the page. You're being bracha latino because I've now spoken between the bracha and the tasting of the wine. Aval hakiddush kvar yatza, but the kiddush, I'm yotzei. I'm bidia, maybe you say bidia, but I fulfilled shahaya al hakos kadin. Because why? I have made the bracha of mekadesh or Shabbos over a cup of wine, holding a revius in there. In it, the yishtena asa achar habracha, and all these changes now have they've happened after the bracha. It's all done. I mean, the kiddush bracha was made over a cup of wine. What happened afterwards? The mitzvah of kiddush doesn't care. The mitzvah of kiddush, like, I'm done. Now, this does contradict what I just said a few moments ago, where if Rav Moshe Feinstein is correct, that the shtiyah sakos is a chelek mei kiddush, then if it's a chelek from the kiddush and the kiddush bracha, how are we saying that even if I don't drink, that it's not good enough? Which why it goes back to the word that maybe wasn't very important that he added, which was shelechatchila aser hadavar. That lechatchila, this is what you should do. That after the fact, you can justify and say, look, at the end of the day, he made kiddush over the cup of wine, and this is where the Aruch HaShulchan's position may be helpful. That nothing was consumed, or maybe even less than a little bit of could have been consumed, or and maybe we're still yotzei b'shas lachak or something like that. And we'll see. Maybe even nothing has to be consumed. We'll get to that in a moment. But the bottom line is that the kiddush bracha was said over a cup of wine, and that's my rapa. That's my responsibility. Whether it's drunk or it's not drunk, that's the Baruch Pergafen problem. That's the Baruch. That's that bracha's problem. Like the Mekadosh Shabbos bracha is looking at this and saying, "I'm good. I'm done." Baruch Pergafen's got problems, but not me. I'm good. So yes, what do you mean?
But Rob, Hinda posed a question a couple minutes ago about it being a bracha l'batala, and you responded by saying yes. But yes. According to what you just learned, it's not l'batala because you have the bracha mikadesh haShabbos.
Well, but the borei pri hagafen bracha is for the drinking of the wine, which we're supposed to do, and we literally want to hold the drinking in abeyance while we are celebrating Shabbos, making that bracha mekadesh. Like we were literally being kadesh al hayayin. Like the wine literally should be drunk right now. I made a bar mitzvah guffin, and the next thing that should happen is the wine should go in my mouth. But while I'm waiting to put it in my mouth, that's the time when I do the mitzvah of kiddush. That's what it means to do a mitzvah al hakos. Right? You're like literally you're supposed to drink it, and while you're in that state, you make the mitzvah, the bracha for the mitzvah. Now the problem is though, the bar mitzvah guffin is lost. By talking and speaking, I've lost that bracha. In terms of the mitzvah of kiddush, if I held the kiddush cup with wine in my hands, according to this, I didn't make a bar mitzvah guffin, and I just said mekadesh the bracha of mekadesh or Shabbos. That's certainly not what you're supposed to do. But you could justify maybe after the fact. Well, I'm yotze. I didn't do it the right way, but I'm yotze because I made kiddush over a cup of wine, I held it in my hand. You could argue with that I just said, by the way, I said, no, if you don't make the bar prayer guffin, then the wine is not sort of sitting there during Kiddush. That I ruined the bar prayer guffin afterwards by speaking. So no, maybe I take back what I said before as I even talking out the Sora. The bottom line here is it definitely is the bracha levatala because I have to make a, in order to drink and consume wine, I have to make a new bracha, which means that the bar prayer guffin it was blown up.
So implicit in that is that if you speak during Kiddush, you're not
Yotzei
Kiddush.
Oh, for sure. That's
so
a problem.
So are you Yotzei the bracha of the wine? If you speak during Kiddush, you make the bracha of the wine?
I would assume that you're also in trouble there because you've now completely ruined the Inyan. Now you ruined the, you know, like, you were in the middle of Kiddush and you blew it.
It doesn't work both ways.
Because the problem with the bracha Rishona is that there are any half stake in between. That's the Kiddush by making.
But I haven't any made a half sec between my drinking of the wine and my sipping the wine. I made it during Kiddush.
But if you said Baruch Pirgafen first, which is what you're supposed to do, and then you do a Kiddush bracha, then you've blown up the Baruch Pirgafen. Yeah. Unless you're asking like Beis Shammai, that would be an interesting question. Does you hear what I'm saying? Beis Shammai says you make Kiddush first, right. The Kaddish, right. And then you say Baruch Pirgafen, and then you wouldn't have a then there wouldn't be a situation, perhaps, of that. Right, by the way, I ain't the one of the early Mishnayos in Brachos, when the Listim attack of Rabbi Tarfon. okay. Okay, so let's take a look now at, let's go back to the previous page, bottom line of the Shulchan Aruch. So he says, "V'hu adin." Now, this is perhaps now the first situation is pretty realistic. This one is also realistic. I'm honestly surprised that this has never happened in my house with my four children. Watch now. This Friday night is going to happen. It's never happened yet. Okay, v'hu adin im nishbach hakos kodem fiyotomenu. Let's say you make the kiddush, and as you're maybe like you're about to sit down, you know, the whole cup spills. Not a little bit. A little cup. Okay, there's still plenty left in there to drink. Let's say that you drop the cup by accident, and the whole thing spills on the table, on the ground. The whole coast upon which you made kiddush is gone. It's been spilled. So nishbach hakos kodem shiyitomen before you got to taste it. Now I'm in trouble. The bar pri agafen. What do I do with it? And mekadesh. So he says yavi kos. You can turn to the page. Yavi kos acher mevarach ala bar pri agafen. So bring another cup. Right. So you're gonna go find the bottle of wine. Pour a new cup, and Mori Kabori Pregafen. But you don't need to go back and make kiddush. So it's the same halacha. Anyways, we'll see here. The Mishnah Berurah has some tweaks to, not tweaks at all. The halacha stands as is, but it makes a lot of sense in the situation where I was only planning to have one glass of wine, and that the bottle of wine is not on the table.
Even if you have a hefsek.
Well, there's no hefsek. I didn't speak. The only problem here is that the wine spilled to the floor. If for anything, by the way, my mind is still on the wine, because I'm like, oh, I'm like, where is wine? I need to get more wine here. But you do need to make a bar pirag guffin. Why? Because that wine that you now are consuming was not planned consumption. All right, I have to go back to the kitchen and grab the bottle of wine and pour more. Or in those days of the Talmud, by the way, what would they do? It was more complicated. You have to go down to the wine cellar, get from the barrel, dilute the wine. It was not so simple. So then you really probably have to make it, then for sure you're making a bar pirag guffin because obviously there was no plan to drink more of it. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah here, who gives us some color to this halacha. Take a look at Ayin Zayin and then Ayin Ches and Ayin Tes. So this will take us a few minutes to get through. Checking the time. Okay, Ayin Zayin. umavarech alav. The alos lakos lo haya dato mitchila. On the first, you know, on the second cup that I had to bring to the table, okay, I had no intention. My mind was never on that second cup of wine that I was going to consume. But if I had in mind when I was making Kiddush that I was going to have more wine, the bottle's on the table, I have wine glasses out for everybody, like we're gonna finish this bottle, I'm going to have more too. I don't need to make another bar pia gafen. Rather, take the bottle of wine that's on the table. I've spilled today. Take your cup, put wine into it, and drink. Because that bracha rishona covered the wine I had now and any intended wine that was going to happen during the meal. So why I'd have to make a new bracha? What I need to do, I need to drink immediately because I'm holding the bar pia gafen. You know, it's hanging. So I shouldn't speak, shouldn't talk. Grab the bottle. Pour myself the wine and drink. Okay? Just like I said, now what I could say is like, pass me the wine. That's still Me'inyan HaKiddush now, because I've spilled and I need more. But I shouldn't start, the tablecloth and the carpet. Oh, we're going to have to call the carpet cleaner this week. Can you pass the wine? You know, like now I'm on to a whole new topic. So that's that you shouldn't do. Okay. Even though that's all what we're all thinking. Okay. That's what we're thinking. Just keep it in your head. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
And normally the bracha on Kiddush.
Yeah.
Is poter all the wine you're going to drink during that meal.
For sure. Yes. Except, yes, there's one exception.
Okay. No.
So you're already basically accustomed to the idea that you make that bracha, now you poter all other wine you're going to drink, so why do you have to make another bracha?
So again, I want to take us back to the Gemara here, meaning that if you, I'll even use my own life as an example here, right? Sometimes when for a Shabbos meal, we would never open more a second bottle. Like, we're not such big wine drinkers and alcohol consumers. So anyways, like we only will have one bottle of wine. And we leave it on the table for any guests who would like and with wine glasses. But that's like, for us to open a second bottle is not the norm. If let's say the I don't know what happened, but we finished, we just actually had, between everyone taking wine, we didn't, then you're right, then that's not what I usually have in mind. And I would take you back even further. In the time of the Gemara, you know, whatever you diluted, that's what your plan was to drink during that meal. It's kind of like whatever bottle you bring out.
If you open a second bottle.
Yes, if you had no intention that you were going to, you never usually open a second bottle, now you're doing that.
Right. Like if guests came and you never intended to have two bottles, but the guests come in, you open another bottle, they have to.
Yeah, right, correct. Yeah. But
normally, if you're a normal course of a meal, is to have wine with your meal.
That you're always drinking with the chicken, with every part of the meal. Yeah.
So the Kiddush, the bracha, the wine of the Kiddush, you're poter not only the wine, but all other, like soda and water.
Right, correct.
Juice, any other liquid any other that you drink. Correct. In the core of the meal, you're poter.
Yeah.
So here it was clear, you would think clearly, you know, this is part of your intention. But because you didn't know that the wine would spill, and now they're bringing
out. Now I have to bring more wine. Right. Correct. I thought I was going to have this wine. And if this wine is not available, and then I was going to, you know what? I filled a big goblet of for Kiddush. And that's all, you know, not more, way more than a Revi. So I had multiple Revi, you know, how you say multiple, Revi. Revios, right? So I got a huge cup. So I drink a little lugma, but now I'm gonna nurse this the rest of the meal. Right? I had never intended to have more wine except for what's in this cup. Then if I have to, I spill the whole cup. Then you have to make a bar pia gafen. And the times of the Gemara to go to the wine cellar and to bring more wine, I didn't dilute the wine. I had no intention for that wine. I don't think, and I don't know what their wine consumption habits were bizman haGemara. I really don't know. But I would say for sure. If you didn't dilute the wine before the meal started, you probably weren't going to go back and get more in the middle. Maybe you could, but you definitely didn't have it in mind that you're for sure. Otherwise, you would have diluted it beforehand. Okay. Yeah.
Remind me in a couple months to ask this question.
For Pesach. Okay.
We make a separate bori pre-gopin on every cup.
Yes, it's a machlokas, by the way. Shlomo at his Seder Shlomo on his Seder does not make a Borei Pirei Gafen, if I had to guess, on the second cup of wine, correct? At the second course, you don't make a bracha of Borei Pirei Gafen.
He only makes two.
He makes exactly the first cup,
I think two,
and the third cup, you make a Borei Pirei Gafen. The second and fourth cup, Sfaradim don't. The Ashkenazim, we do. And so, the extra cup. So, and then in terms of the wine, by the way, the only other bracha you might make at for other wine at the meal is if you have a better wine at the meal, then you make Hatova Meitu. But you won't also make a Borei Pirei Gafen again, correct? You're,
Is there concept of value? It's based on what we're saying is that, you know, you have to hold the item that you said, Borei Pirei Gafen, or Borei Pirei. You can't say Borei Pirei and go to the refrigerator and take one.
No, you're really supposed to hold things in your hand before you make the
bracha. I think that's where it comes from. They say you have to.
Yeah.
Another bracha is because you have to hold the item that you consuming.
Right.
Before you. Before you know, say the bracha before you consume it.
Right.
So people who make kiddush on grape juice because of the children.
Yeah.
Or sweet wine, and then go to a better wine for the meal. Then they have to make
Hatova Meitu.
Hatova Meitu.
Yes.
And even schnapps, then, if you're bringing out, like, in this scenario,
the schnapps? No, there's no halacha of Hatova Meitu for schnapps. I hear, you know, that that some people it gives a certain level of joy and excitement when they pull out of certain bottles. I'm not such an alcohol consumer, so I don't understand these things. But I don't. The Shulchan Aruch only talks about the Hatova Meitiv in the context of wine, and then going up a levels in terms of the fanciness of the wine, which actually these are things we're going to talk about in the next segment about the kind of what wines you can use for Kiddush
wine,
right?
Kiddush wine
meaning sweet cheap wine.
Right.
I grew up where my father would always make kiddush on sweet wine, and then they would have.
And then they would go up a level.
A regular bottle of wine.
Right.
Are you saying that? And then we make kiddush a lot on grape juice because of our kids.
Yeah.
So when we open up wine, meaning we should make a separate bracha.
When you consume that other wine, yes. Yeah.
You know, anybody who makes kiddush,
when you have a better
wine later.
So yes, I would say that is definitely the case. Yes,
the so-called Kiddush wine is so that you would have to make a Tova Meitu.
I'm not sure why anyone would want to set themselves up unless it's like the kids thing. You want like your kids to be able to participate in the mitzvah of Kiddush and be able to taste something. And the
remember back in the cobwebs that there is a minhag that you increase the value of the wine as you go through the meal. So you start with a.
Of something. So we will touch on these things in the next simon. We will definitely gotta keep coming back for more. Otherwise, why are you coming back to the shir? You have to be on the hook for these cliffhangers. Well, so take a look at Ayin Ches here. Oh, sorry, Simeon. Go ahead. Yes, very quickly.
Yes. Richie's point was very interesting. That any beverage you consume during the course of the meal, irrespective of the fact that you had washed and made a motzi to cover all the food you're going to eat, still require an independent bracha.
Not any bit, no.
The opposite. If you have wine at the beginning, forget Shabbos for a second. If you on a Tuesday night have wine at your meal, and then you have Sprite and you have seltzer, I don't know, all sorts of drinks, you do not need to make a shahakal before you drink any of those.
Okay,
wine kind of works like hamotzi for drinks. Yes, go ahead.
Because the halacha, as I understand it, is when you get served the dessert, you are required to make an independent bracha on the dessert, and you don't have to make a bracha achrona because it's covered by birkas hamazon. So
Simeon is a Talmud. Who's been in the shir for many years, but we had many arguments, Simeon and I, over this topic, many. And look at this, I've convinced him. So if you have fruit, or I would even say, by the way, even like you have cake, this is where Simeon and I had a lot of arguments. We're not going to argue about it today, Simeon. Okay? But if you have cake, it's not ba mechamas ha-se'uda, and you're really supposed to make a separate bracha for it, but the benching will cover all the food, so you don't have to make another bracha acharona just for that.
Why is dessert not part of the whole meal?
Why it's not dessert? Because it's not. This is where Simeon got me. So he kept playing. It's not part of. It doesn't come with the bread. It doesn't. It's not part of the suda. We even call it. We even give it a special name as like a dessert. It's like something that sweetens the mouth at the end of the meal. It's a very interesting topic. I'm happy to talk about it more offline after this year. But this was a huge vikuach at our table. Simeon was sitting on my left here live in Scarsdale many years ago. We had some lively discussions about it. Fruit for sure. The Gemara even used that as the example. Simeon and I, our argument was about cake. I think
back in the day.
All right.
Well, it's like Rosh Hashanah,
right? When you have the apple, of course you should make ha'etz. That wasn't part of the meal. That was because that there's a minhag to consume an apple. It's not ba mechamas ha'seuda. If I happen to have apples in the salad, as a salad, that's different. But the reason I'm consuming the apple with the puach with vash is because there's some other inyan that's pushing me to do that. There's a minhag that I should do this. It's not because of the meal itself. All right, let's go to Ayin Ches. Here we go. Last one, though. I really want to go for it.
You said twice.
No. One time. Yeah, any bracha Rishon, you say one time for a meal. Yep. Ve'eno tzarech lachzor, Ayin Ches. So this is a lengthy discussion. Let's follow the logic all the way through. So kevan shekidesh mitchila al hayayin kadin v'gam tam kashur. Since you since you made a kiddush on the wine, kehalacha, okay, and you v'gam tam kashir, and you've tasted the proper amount, afal pishul tame osva kosher kiddush, even though you didn't taste from the kiddush, the wine upon which you made kiddush, because you spilled it all, right? Yosa. So at the end of the day, I made kiddush. Had, you know, and I even consumed wine kind of over the kiddush. Therefore, the kiddush bracha, for sure, I don't have to do anything to fix it. The davka, shol yisiach da'ato bein time. Of course, I shouldn't have had a hesach hadas in the meantime. Meaning my mind went to some other place. I'm talking about the carpet cleaner who has to come or whatever. Aval, im kvar yatsam, im komo bein time. Kodom shetam mikos achem. But if I already was yotze, if I've already walked away before I tasted anything, so in the meantime, the wine spills, and I'm all up in a frenzy here, and I don't know, whatever. So he says that you have to go back and you got to make kiddush again. I'm walking over here. I'm about to grab something to clean the stain. When I realized, I learned about my clinger. Oh, you're cleaning wine stains. Not so simple on Shabbos. But forget it. I put it down. I go over here. There's a whole, you know, balagan. So apparently, according to some, no good. The Magen Rav says it's no good.
So conceptually, there's a problem. Is that there is a strong connection between the wine and the kiddush,
mm-hmm.
and yet we have two different brachas,
right?
And we're trying to figure out if you could be yosing one without the other.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So right now our working theory is that you could, but then if you just back up. But right, if you back up for a moment, why did the first case of talking, why did the Kiddush Bracha work there? And the answer is because I made a Baruch Pergoffin afterwards. I mean, I still consumed the wine over the Kiddush. I didn't do it exactly correctly. Here the wine spilled. So if I go and I get another cup of wine, so it's okay. But if I never get the cup of wine, if I don't go and get the cup of wine, and then I'm walking around and it's a whole... Before I ever get to the next to drinking, it's who knows how long. Then maybe I don't fulfill the mitzvah because no wine was consumed at all. So Kostova post, give him kodem in Kiddush. So that's sort of the working theory, that there has to be some consumption of wine. Okay? Maybe we don't have Malalugma, not Malalugma, but there has to be some consumption of wine. Kostova post, give him Kiddush ala Kostova, Savar Shehu Yayin. If you make a kid, if you make Kiddush over a cup, it's a different case, and you thought it was wine. So you pick it up, I don't know how drunk you are, like you pick it up and you have no idea that there's actually not wine in here, right? Okay, whatever, you got fooled, okay? And you thought, v'nimsa shehu chometz o mayim. Turns out it was vinegar or it was water. Okay, at least the wine, red wine vinegar, maybe you could fooled on that one. Not sure how you pour it from the red wine vinegar into the cup. Wine, okay. Could go bad. Wine could go bad, exactly. So it could just be in the decanter or whatever, and it's turned sour. So yikach, so you make a kiddush, and you think you have wine in there, but it turns out it's either vinegar or it's water. So yikach kosacher shel yayin v'yivarech borei pir gafen v'yikadesh shenis. So take another cup of wine, and you make a borei pir gafen and make a second kiddush, meaning the whole thing over again. The whole thing over again.
Why is this different than the first?
Dekevan shelo hayayayin. This is not wine. When I started the whole thing, I thought it was wine, but it was not wine. Nimtza shelo kiddush al kos klal. Never have to make a kiddush over a kos. I didn't have a kos of wine. Mikol makom.
But you had the bread.
Ah, okay. Yes. So the only problem is that, yes, the bread was at the table, but the kavana wasn't there. The kavana wasn't there that I was being mikdash over the bread. He does the pasta is going to come up in a moment for Shabbos day. If you hear, I think he
is
here.
It's interesting. So the critical moment is if you have the wine, not if you
drink it. That's right. So at least what he's saying here is if. So I have to just maybe it seems like I have to drink wine, but if I
for kiddush,
but
as long as you had wine with you.
But if I right, so in another situation, I had wine, it spilled. So the wine is actually gone. So how did the kiddush bracha work? Because then I ended up drinking more wine, but I was also holding wine while I made the kiddush. Right. I mean, the bar pir gafen was relevant to that wine. I just happened to nebuch. I spilled it.
But
of course, if I was holding water, right, and I thought it was wine, I made a bar pir gafen, but for sure it's a bracha live atala. Not even a question. I was having a mind of consumption of wine right here. My whole das was totally wrong. Right, so it doesn't even get off the ground. It wasn't a kiddush over a kos. So he says here, but here's the workaround. Let's say it turned out it was bad wine. Okay, this has happened. I told you the story a few weeks ago that after COVID we had some leftover bottles of grape juice here, and when we started resumption of making the Friday night kiddush here in shul, the first Shabbos, I recall that I drank the wine because maybe there were kids there at that time. Or no, maybe I smelled it or something. Like, whatever. I think the first time we made it, one of the times we made a kiddush, and the grape juice was rancid. It was spoiled. And if that would happen to you at your own table, if you made kiddush over spoiled grape juice, you really need to go find a fresh bottle of grape juice and make kiddush all over again. Because the kiddush that you made, unless you had one thing happening for you, which was, when you made the bracha at the beginning, there was a bottle of wine on the table. I was going to drink more wine. I was going to drink more grape juice anyways. So then just... But, you know what you have to do again? Rak l'kaddish. Why? Because when you held the cup of wine, it wasn't wine. You didn't make kiddush over a kos. That wasn't wine. Yes, you were going to drink wine, so the bar per gafen I don't have to do later. Don't do it again. What else should I do? I should probably take the cup of wine, take the bottle of wine, pour it into the cup, get a new cup, either clean this one up, but that's probably not, takes too long. Get a new cup, pour the wine in there that's now good and fresh, and go right into making the kiddush bracha again, because the bar per gafen I don't need to make again. And this is fine if I make the kiddush bracha over the wine, and then consume the wine after the Mekadesh Shabbos in that situation. In Rak Lekadesh, V'chol Zeh, he says in the brackets here, Nimta Kos Mayim. When is this a big problem? When is this issue? When is this issue going to be a problem? It's when you find out that there's water in your cup. it doesn't register as mashke at all. Mashke means like a beverage, any kind of beverage, a drink. Right. right? It turned out, and this is a big topic, and we will get into this in the next sim, so I don't want to delve too deep. And also, I only have like a moment until I have to actually go home. Let's say it turned out in my cup. I thought it was wine. Wasn't my cup. It was beer or any other commonly consumed beverage in your locale, which is a lot of things, by the way, in our world. Because of mass production of drinks, people drink. It's not abnormal to have apple juice, orange juice, coffee. In those days, you might have made your own special drink. We don't think about this because we get most of the things that we consume from a store. That's not how the world used to work. So it's probably actually easier today to define what is Sheikha Hamadina.
Orange
juice. Yeah. Or people drink Tropicana or whatever brand you like in the gallons, in the gallons and gallons and gallons every day. These are sold in your state, sold in your country. So in those days, that may not have been so. Maybe if you had, though, alcoholic beverages were more, maybe. But otherwise, this is not so easy to find. But today, it's actually probably easier. So he says, if it turns out you had chamar medina in your cup, eino tzarech likach kos acher lekiddush. You don't need to take another cup for kiddush. Eliyavar chalav shehakol v'yishteh. It turns out afterwards, you realize, you look in your cup after you finish the Mekadosh Shabbos Bracha, you're about to look, you look down, you go, this looks like whiskey. This doesn't look like wine. Why is somebody putting it in there? I don't know how it got in there, but okay. So I have to make a shahakol. The Bor Pe'Gafen is messed up. Like, that's the problem, and it is what it is. Maybe I need to go grab some wine after. I don't know. It's a problem. Probably you're messed up with that bracha. But my Kiddush Bracha is probably okay. Why? Because there is an opinion that you can make Kiddush on Friday night over Sheikhar Hamadina. Well, we don't, Lechat Chila, for sure, follow this opinion. And it's better to use the Chala than it is to use Lechar Hamadina because the Machlok is whether or not it would even work at all. Rabbi Tam Paskas, absolutely not. And the Rush says, no, Friday night, you should use wine. No, not even a backup to use Sheikhar. But there is an opinion out there, so at least that you can rely on that, and you'll make shahakol and you'll drink. Again, this is way, this is very, very b'di'evet. But okay, so you have something to stand on. Why do you have to make a second kiddush when the wine is not ready in front of you? Right? You didn't have the extra bottle, the grape juice. It was all in the cellar, it wasn't diluted. Then it turns out that it was chometz or whatever. So you have to make a whole kiddush all over again, because what I was holding wasn't wine. Aval imaya yain muchan lefanav bekli, it's in the decanter in front of you, or al shulchan or al safsal beis hakiddush, or it's al safsal. I'm imagining here like a bar cart, or whatever, like where you keep the drinks. Right? Or safsal also means like where the benches they were sitting, it was kind of next to you. Right, vedato hayalishtos v'enu acharkach, and of course I was going to drink more. That's why it was all there. In etzarach gam lekadesh shenis, then you don't even have to make a second kiddush. Dehave keilu kiddush al kol hayayin shemuchan lefanav v'yishta mehen techef melalugma. So he says a big kiddush here. If I had the wine decanter or the wine bottle right there, and of course in mind I was going to drink more, then when I make the kiddush, then it's not just on the cup of the wine, but it's upon all the wine that's at the table. Not if the wine is still in the... I'm going to bring another bottle during the main course. No. It has to be on the table. If it's there and present during the kiddush, even though I'm not holding that wine, because the wine I was holding, it turns out not to be wine, it's still... the kiddush here is that is enough to call that kiddush al hakos, and you have to then immediately pour. You realize this is bad wine. Immediately pour the good wine and consume a little lugmav right away.
Let's say the wine is really unpleasant to you, even though it's really considered wine. And it's like people would love, people have different.
I would say if the wine really is, yeah, I would say if the wine is not, if the wine is not spoiled and you just don't like the taste, that's just, that's the way it goes. Like, some people don't like certain flavors of wine or whatever, or, By the way, I'll use what we've learned in the previous weeks. What if you made kiddush over raw wine? You didn't dilute it, so it sounds like you could get away with it, right? Even though it probably tastes really, really strong and probably doesn't taste so good, it's probably not pleasant. It probably okay. I have to stop here. I see some text messages coming in from my family. We have a place to go right now. So we'll finish this up this sermon next week. And So next week there's a Daf Yomi Shir live. All right, Rothstein's giving it. I'm also, thank you for reminding me, I am going to be in, I have a conference for this. It's a day school conference in Boston. So I'm actually not going to be here Sunday, Monday, Tuesday next week. So next week there's a Daf Yomi Shir in this place that Rabbi Rothstein's giving. He's going to be in person. He's visiting from Israel, 7:30 between the two minyanim. So if you are holding a Daf Yomi, you can attend. And I will be actually away next Sunday. So in 2 weeks, though, we will continue. And I look forward to finishing this topic. And we'll begin the next topic about which wine you make, bracha. Go ahead, everybody. So I have to run. I have to take questions.
Rob, thank you very much.